Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for our sermon today is 1 Corinthians 1, 18-31. The interesting thing about this is we get verse 18 again from, we had it last week, we get it again this week. So, guess what, we'll talk about that. So, last week we talked about divisions in the church and how the church in Corinth was divided and how we put, I use the example of how we put labels on each other so we don't have to listen to each other. I was thinking about that this week and, you know, we also put labels on ourselves, and Paul talked about that last week. You know, I follow Paul, I follow Cephas, I follow Apollos, I follow Jesus Christ. As if that makes me better. Right? When we talked about that last week. So this isn't last week's sermon, but it's connected. Because we put labels on ourselves. And labels are not necessarily bad things. Now, they're bad if they're misused, if they're used the wrong way. Okay? If I put a label on somebody else so I don't have to listen to them, that's bad. Okay? If I put a label on myself to raise myself above somebody else, well, that's what Paul's talking about here. Let's not do that. That's what divides the church. That's what divides human beings from one another. We can use tools like labels for good things, as in shorthand things. I'm going to give you an example. The cross. We just sang about the cross. What is the cross shorthand for? It's shorthand for what God has done for you in Jesus Christ. The forgiveness of sins in which Jesus atoned for all of your sins and mine on the cross. Okay? Shorthand. That's okay to use it that way. Here's another example of you get a tool. I got a tool for Christmas, okay? My big Christmas present was a chainsaw, okay? We got trees in the back that, you know, ash borer beetles, my bane of my existence. So, no, that's not true, but. So I got a chainsaw for Christmas. Well, there's good ways to use the chainsaw and bad ways to use the chainsaw. Okay, if I come in, you know, if you see me like this, I've used the chainsaw wrong. Okay? Same thing with any tool that God gives us. You know, God gives us so many blessings. If we use them the wrong way and misuse them, not use them not the way that He intended, then we go wrong. And we do things such as that, which divide us, okay? So, that's background. Paul says, we preach Christ crucified, okay? Christ crucified is, you could even say, shorthand for all that Christ does for us. In His coming to earth, His death, His resurrection. Now, we talk about things that divide us and things that unite us. Christ crucified does that too. Okay? Just like those labels that we talked about last week, Christ crucified, the preaching of Christ crucified divides people. God knows that. Okay? It divides people into those who believe and those who do not. Those who believe, well, I'm going to take it that since you're here on Sunday morning, that's a good sign that the Holy Spirit is working in your life to show you what God has done for you. So you come here to hear the good news that you are forgiven by Jesus Christ your Lord. To receive that good news. To receive the sacrament of the altar. Okay, where Christ comes in person for you, to deliver to you the forgiveness of sins and life and salvation that come with it. Okay. So that's how you hear God's word. When we preach Christ crucified, or try to, that's what you hear. That's what you understand. And it changes your life. And we'll talk about that, I hope, here in a minute. But there are those who hear Christ crucified and they react differently. Okay? That's what Paul's talking about. And that divides us. It divides humanity into believers and unbelievers. It's nevertheless affecting them, Christ crucified. Some, as Paul points out in his day particularly, but I guess still today, many of the Jews said, well, the cross is a stumbling block. It's a stumbling block to my believing, because why would God die on a cross? Why would this King and Savior and Messiah, my Messiah, doesn't die on a cross, they'd say. The cross is where criminals go and get executed in Roman times. It's where recalcitrant slaves who didn't follow their master's orders, I guess, or ran away or whatever. That's what was their fate, death by torture on a cross. Where's the power in that? Where's the wisdom in that? That's the stumbling block. And Greeks or Gentiles or the people in Corinth that surrounded the congregation, when they heard Christ crucified, death, where's the wisdom in that? And resurrection, really, resurrection? I haven't seen that before, they would say. Where's that? Where's the logic in a God? And the Greeks had lots of gods. None of them were crucified. Where's the logic and wisdom in that, they would say. And the Romans at the time, who believed in nothing more than power, right? Basically a virtue, they made a virtue out of power, almost. Where's the power of a guy dying on a cross for your sins? And the Romans, just like the Greeks, appreciated great speakers and orators, you know? And they would write about, if you read the histories at the time, what do they talk about? Battles? And great speakers, orators. This guy, there's this guy named Cicero, who lived the first century before Jesus, okay? And before Christ and Paul. And Paul says, where's the debater of the age? Well, Cicero was the debater of the age. What did he say about the cross? Before Jesus was even crucified. Let's see if I can find it. Cicero. May the very name of the cross be absent. He wouldn't even speak about the cross. May the very name of the cross be absent, not only from the body of Roman citizens, but also from their thinking, their eyes, and ears. That's how negative the cross was in those days. Now, you and I talk about the cross, we sing about the cross, lift high the cross, we say. We're going to sing later, Onward Christian Soldiers, Going As to War. Not that we're warlike, but we follow our leader, Christ. The crucified Christ. And the risen Christ. Because of what that means for us. Paul says, in the cross, you see the humility of God. You see the love of God. How He comes to you not as a big, powerful guy but as someone who loves you. Someone who is willing to take all those sins, all those things that we do to divide ourselves from each other and divide ourselves from God, and all those things that the Corinthian church was arguing about, and all those arguments that you get in with your family or somebody at work or at school or even in Holy Cross. All that stuff that we argue over because we want to be right, you know, and we want to get points for whatever. I mean, do you ever go through thinking, okay, I took out the garbage today, so that counts for something. It counts for what? Where's the wisdom in that? Where's the wisdom and power in that? It's like, it makes me wise. It makes me more important. It gives me the right to say, you got to take the trash out next week, or whatever it is. Whatever silly thing it is. You see how that stuff divides us? Where do we see us bringing any of that to the Lord? Our Old Testament reading from Micah ends with, you know, what does the Lord require of me? What am I going to do for the Lord? Am I going to bring all kinds of calves here to the Lord for offering, or lots of oil? All my wealth I bring to the Lord, like the Lord needs that? What do I bring to the Lord? Nothing. I don't bring anything to Him. He comes to me here. He comes to you here to share His blessings of love and forgiveness. That's what He goes to the cross to show you. To take your sin upon Himself and go to the cross. That's Christ crucified. The power in that is in the power of forgiveness. The power of the cross is in the power of forgiveness. Because the problem in your life is sin. You know that. And the consequences of sin. And there's no solution in human wisdom for sin. There ain't. You can't get there from here. Only through the cross. Only through the forgiveness that God speaks to you. God's word works. Let there be light, and there's light. Let these people be forgiven, and they are forgiven. Forgiven in your baptism. Forgiven in the body and blood of Christ, which you're going to receive. Forgiven when another Christian speaks to you the words of forgiveness, as we say in the Lord's Prayer. Forgive me as I forgive those who trespass against me. Every time I speak a word of forgiveness to you, I know that I'm forgiven. Every time that you speak a word of forgiveness to each other, that is evidence of the cross. Evidence that you are forgiven. Let me say that again. When you say to someone else, you're forgiven, that's evidence to you, Christians, that you are forgiven. That's the power of the cross. The power of the cross to those who are being saved. That's you and me. To those who don't believe it, it's like you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. The water is there. The water of forgiveness is there. The Word of God does it. for you and for me. My prayer for you, Christians, is that you would receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that's active in your life already in baptism. And that the Holy Spirit would grant you, through the crucified and risen Jesus Christ, the same determination that He granted St. Paul. To speak boldly that proclamation of the crucified Christ by what you say and the words that you use with others, but also in your life, living a life of meekness and humility where God has placed you with the people that God has placed in your life. You preach Christ crucified in your life. And maybe you'll have the chance to speak to them too, the word of Christ. And to say to them what Christ has done for me. What Christ has done for me at the cross in the forgiveness of sins. And in His resurrection, in which I too will be resurrected. That's what's to come. And what Christ is doing in my life today, as I live in this world of suffering and evil and trouble and persecution, to the cross of Christ I go. The glory in that, the cross. Not because of what I've done, because of what Christ has done for me there. May that forgiveness be with you now and forever. Amen.